Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew. Please stick around to hear four fascinating news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. Our stories this time are about a letter written on paper by a Nubian king, DNA results that reveal complex interactions between European hunter-gatherers and migrating farmers, the discovery of a farming village with associated rock art in northern Mexico, and a colossal ceremonial offering found at Templo Mayor in Mexico City. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including our recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in September 2026 with our tour of Scotland's most important megalithic sites, including those in the Orkney Islands and the Outer Hebrides. Registration is now open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of March 1st through the 7th, 2026. Our first story this week comes from Old Dongola in northern Sudan, where a new study examines a piece of writing dating to the Fung period between 1504 and 1821. As reported by phys.org, researchers discovered the paper document in a pile of refuse during a 2018 excavation of Building A1, which was thought to be the residence of Dongola's kings. The excavation also yielded objects made of high-end materials, like cotton, linen, silk, leather, and ivory, or possibly rhino horn, as well as 23 Arabic texts. The document, an order by King Kashkash to Hidar, was among those texts. It reads in part, "From King Kashkash to Hidar, son of Shaddat." It refers to a transaction involving three ewes. According to the study, the letter shows physical evidence of the existence of King Kashkash, who was previously known only through oral tradition. It also highlights the Arabization of Dongola during the Fung period. Old Dongola, once an important Christian capital and trade hub in northern Sudan, entered a dark ages of sorts in the 14th century. What followed during the next three centuries was a gradual period of Arabization and Islamization, about which little is known. Lead author Tomasz Baranski explains that this change was not sudden, but part of a complex pattern of interconnection. The order by Kashkash shows the gradual adaptation of Arabic, as the scribe's writing reveals a lack of fluency in classical Arabic. For example, number and gender are not distinguished in the possessive pronouns, and there is some colloquial speech. According to Baranski, in addition to linguistic transformations, the letters also point to specific patterns in communication, and possibly a broader network that included religious and administrative heads, as well as nomadic leaders. Baranski notes that the discovery of this small piece of paper takes on great significance within the broader context of cultural interactions and political relations, and shows how archaeology can flesh out the historical record. The study appeared in the journal Azania, Archaeological Research in Africa. Next, we head to Europe, as a team of US and Europe-based researchers delves into more complex models of Neolithic European migration. As reported by phys.org, early studies led to the viewpoint that populations came to settle in Europe through three main Eastern migrations. First, over 40,000 years ago, came the hunter-gatherers. Following that, 9,000 years later, came farmers from Anatolia. With the third migration, 5,000 years ago, the Corded Ware people moved to Europe from the Russian steppe. This final migration initiated the European Bronze Age. However, the New Studies authors claim that this view was oversimplified, and the reality of migrations and human interactions was much more complex. Their DNA-based research focuses on prehistoric populations in Belgium and the Netherlands during the Neolithic period, revealing more of an overlap of hunter-gatherers and farmers. In other words, hunter-gatherers did not instantly disappear when farming populations emerged. In fact, over time, the proportion of hunter-gatherer ancestry in some farmer groups actually grew from 10% to 30 or 40% or more, indicating that they remained in contact with hunter-gatherers over a long span of time. Earlier collaborations between the University of Huddersfield, Bournemouth University, Université de Liège, and Harvard University had focused on wetland and coastal areas around the lower Rhine and Meuse rivers in Belgium and Holland. This research led to surprising information, showing that the genomes of later Neolithic people in Belgium had ancestry that was at least 50% hunter-gatherer, in addition to the anticipated amount of Anatolian farmer ancestry. The researchers found a similar level of hunter-gatherer genomes in other water-rich areas of the region, showing an ancestral pattern. The collaborative team then used DNA to track the male and female lines of descent and found that women were the ones to bring farming skills to the watery areas of hunter-gatherer populations. The team concluded that the frontier between the two groups was more available for Neolithic women to influence, possibly through marriage. The result was the eventual adoption of farming practices by hunter-gatherers in these wetland areas, which gave them a better chance to avoid extinction. The likelihood of women skilled at farming marrying into hunter-gatherer groups also dispels the idea that hunter-gatherer women married up into agricultural peoples who have often been considered more advanced. According to the paper's authors, these DNA-based findings support a frontier mobility or availability model, which archaeologists Mark Zwelebil and Peter Rowley Conwy presented in the 1980s. The term availability refers to the gradual contact and forming of relationships between the two populations. The availability phase is then followed by a substitution phase, in which farming takes place in areas along with hunting and gathering, and eventually consolidation, at which point farming assumes dominance. This same group of researchers also traced migration patterns of the Bell Beaker people, descended from the Corded Ware people who migrated from the Russian steppe 4,600 years ago. This was the third wave of human migration into Western Europe. The researchers found that the Bell Beaker community that had moved into the Rhine River area had less than 20% ancestry from the previous population of farmers and hunter-gatherers, but 80% from the steppe. These people expanded westward into Europe, initiating the Bronze Age in that area and effectively replacing the earlier population. These findings appeared in the journal Nature. Our third story takes us to northern Mexico, where archaeologists have unearthed the remnants of an ancient village, as well as two rock carvings. As reported by Heritage Daily, the team discovered the ancient village of La Cienega during excavation work needed for the Imuris-Nogales Railway Bypass Project. The site is located near the Cocospera River in Sonora State, near the Arizona border. A 6-member research team from Mexico's National Institute of Anthropology and History, or INAH, has reported that the village belongs to the Trincheras cultural tradition and dates between AD 800 and 1200. The settlement sits atop a 250 by 250 meter plateau, supporting up to 60 homes. Team member Jupiter Martinez Ramirez presented the findings during a lecture for the INAH Coffee Series. According to Martinez Ramirez, researchers recognized the site on the plateau in 2008, but at that time, they recorded the presence of only 10 houses. After the latest construction events, archaeologists revised their estimate. The oval or rectangular structures were made of earth and stone, and had partially subterranean design, resting about 1 to 2 meters below the surface. Some residents had made earthen additions to increase the home's size. The dwellings also featured internal walls, suggesting multi-generational compounds. The Mexican team excavated 3 of the homes and found ceramics and 2 burial sites with more than 100 human remains that followed Trincheras customs. In 40 of the burial sites, the bodies displayed a flexed position. The finds included 28 ceramic vessels that held cremated remains. Shell ornaments adorned some of the grave sites, and other burials hinted at contact with the Hohokan people of the American Southwest. Researchers say residents of the ancient town likely used the rich land along the Cocospera River to grow crops. They also posit that La Cienega may have been a border town where different groups traded resources and expressed diverse cultural traditions. Archaeologists also identified two smaller villages and two extensive rock art locales. One, known as Babasak Petroglyphs, features over 200 meters of geometric and figurative images. The second site, named Bear Footprints, is a small cave containing carvings made to resemble bear tracks. The rock art dates between AD 800 and 1400. We end our week in the Mexican capital, as ongoing excavations at Templo Mayor have led to evidence of a ceremonial offering during the reign of Moctezuma Ilhuicamina, more commonly known as Emperor Moctezuma I, who lived between 1398 and 1469. Templo Mayor was the main temple of the Mexica people in their capital city. Heritage Daily reports that archaeologists have found six additional ritual deposits that coincide with previous findings, illuminating a single significant ritual that took place between 1440 and 1469. The event involved multiple priests and thousands of participants at Huehuetzincalli, the main temple of Tenochtitlan, the capital of the Aztec Empire, and now within Mexico City. The six stone chests, or Tepetcali, held 83 Mezcala-style figurines made of greenstone. Historians believe military campaigners brought the anthropomorphic statuettes from present-day Guerrero as war winnings. Mezcala figurines were small, highly stylized pre-Columbian stone carvings from the Guerrero region of Mexico, dating roughly between 700 to 400 BC. According to field directors Alejandra Aguirre Molina and Antonio Marin Calvo, the recently discovered deposits are part of construction phase 4A of the Templo Mayor. This is the first time that archaeologists on this project have been able to close the circle of ritual deposits for a single building stage. Conserving these items has presented some challenges, as many of the chests contain thousands of marine elements, such as Atlantic coast snails. Once the project is complete, the findings will be secured in the Templo Mayor Museum in Mexico City, with plans for a future exhibition about Tenochtitlan at its apex. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.